Always hit buttons. Chapter 14. So we've got a bunch of things going on. Remember, Rehoboam and Jeroboam have taken over the kingdoms, the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. Jeroboam is king over, and Rehoboam. Jeroboam's over Israel, the 10 tribes in the north. And it says, at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise yourself, that thou be not known to the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah," not Abijah. Abijah is his son, Ahijah is the prophet. "Go to the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people." So he tells his wife to do his dirty work. he should be going. I know he's trying to stay incognito. It isn't going to work, of course. And the right thing is to keep things in the light and not to disguise things. But Jeroboam's not doing that. Remember, he's leading Israel in a bad way. Leading them in the wrong way towards the things of the Lord. And it's interesting, Jeroboam's name means people will contend. And they are contending over what he's doing and where he's leading them. At least the Lord's contending with him. But he says to his wife, "Arise, disguise yourself, and get thee to Shiloh." Notice that there is, sometimes it's more prominent of the things that aren't said than the things that are said. His son is sick, evidently to the point of death. But there's no repentance. There's no asking for forgiveness. There's no salvation. There's nothing going on. He just wants to know the future. And what a sad thing. As long as I live, it's okay. My son dies, oh well. And you just hear the tone behind it, and you hear the things that are behind it, and it's just so sad that people will go to that extreme and yet never come to salvation, never come to repent for what they've done wrong. Always, even to the end, say, "I was right, they were wrong." And you see people, families that are split as they come to the funerals, and that they had never reconciled because everybody thought that they were right. There was no coming together in anything. And here Jeroboam still coming against the Lord. He was raised up during Solomon's time. Solomon saw him for who he was. He got rid of him. And he went to Egypt. He came back when Solomon was dying. And just taken over now the 10 northern tribes. And so he says, "Go to Ahijah, the prophet, and see what he says about my son. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child." Notice he knows enough to know that this man is going to tell him the truth, that this man knows what's going on, but he doesn't want to go himself to find out. Just such a sad thing. I'll send my wife. You pray for me, but I don't want to hear from the Lord. You just pray for me that I'll be okay. And it's just so sad to see things like that. But he has respect for this prophet. He knows who he is. Notice he doesn't go to the idolatrous priests or leaders of the idols that are there in his land. Remember, he's set up places of worship in his land, but he doesn't send his wife to those places because evidently there's no truth there. There's nothing going on, because we saw before he was setting up men of ill repute as priests and leaders. And so he doesn't go to them. He knows what's right, but he won't go himself. So sad to see something like that, and to see people's hearts that they're so proud that they won't come and go to the Lord for it. And he could have gone to the Lord himself, but didn't want to do it. So this man, this prophet Ahijah, is there. And so it says in verse 4 that Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh, and she came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. Eyes gone, but his spirit still intact. The age didn't matter, the condition didn't matter, but he was still seeking the things of the Lord. And I think that's great for you and I, especially the older we get. The limitations start setting in. We can't do what we used to do. We can't always do what we want to do, and we think that God's probably going to just set us aside because we can't do anything. And yet here's a man who couldn't see, probably housebound, at least for the most part, and yet still seeking the Lord. It never stops. We are never going to stop being able to go and seek the Lord, and we shouldn't stop. Just because we get older and sometimes we can't get to church like we used to, doesn't mean that we should stop seeking the Lord, stop reading our Bible, stop being in a place of knowing God's will for us. Because he uses people who are have disabilities, who have limitations, who have issues going on in their lives that hinder them from being visible so much in the community. But God still uses people and still speaks to people who are in those conditions. And that should be for us. We shouldn't be seeking just for us to be comfortable and then take us home without getting sick, because we want to go home. We just don't like the process of getting there, because sometimes it means cancer, sometimes it means heart attacks, sometimes it means all these other things that come into view in this world. But we need to be in that place of Lord, I just want to see you today. I want to know where you are today. And evidently this man was seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the Lord was going to add to him what he needed for the day. And that should be for you and I all the time. No matter what the age, no matter what the limitations, that we're in that place of, Lord, I want to seek you for who you are. I don't want to seek you for prominence, because Ahijah probably shut down a lot from his ministry, and yet still in a place where he wanted to know God, and he wanted to know what God had for him in his day. And boy, that is so wonderful. It's such an encouragement for the body of Christ to do that. And it's a place that we need to go to constantly. And so don't get so discouraged that you think that God can't use you, that God isn't going to use you, because you're beyond the prime, you're beyond the place of having visible ministry, of doing those things. He always wants to speak to his people. We were listening to some of the pastor's wives from a Calvary retreat. And Sandy McIntosh was saying that when her dad was dying, she went up to see him. And when she was little, he would always sit there in his chair. And whenever she would go by, he'd pat the chair, meaning, come on over and sit with me. I just want you to be near me. And she said it went on for as old as she got. And then she became a teenager and she got cool. And every time she went by, but she just blew it off, because she's too cool to go sit with Dad. He was dying later on in life, and they went up to the hospital to see him, and he wasn't talking much, and they prayed with him, and they were getting ready to go, and they were near the door, and all of a sudden she heard from the bed, and she went over and jumped on the bed with him. Never too old to get near to Dad. And don't ever get too old to be near our Father in heaven. It's a place that he wants us to be, close to him, in that place where we have communion with him. And so Ahijah was in that place, and just such a wonderful example for you and I. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. And thus shalt thou say unto her. And look at the detail he gives Ahijah. This is what's going on. This is what's going to happen. And this is what's going to happen to the boy. Imagine it being entrusted with God with a message like that. A hard message, But the Lord speaking and ministering, and Ahijah knows why. And Ahijah knows what's going on with Jeroboam. He's already spoken to him. He's taken his new garment that he had and ripped it in 12 pieces, gave him 10, and said, this is what where you're going to be king over. But it wasn't going to be a good thing. And so now he has this message, but his name, it's kind of neat. It means worshiper of God. And here's this man who's a worshiper of God, even in his old age. But what a difference, because Abijah, his name, the boy that is sick of Jeroboam, his name means the same thing. But one is a worshiper of God and hears from God. One is named a worshiper of God, and yet nobody in the family knows a thing about God. What a difference. We can have the name, but it takes the action in the midst of it to really have that come to fruition in our lives, that the name to mean something instead of just a name to name somebody that would be religious, that would be good, that would be enticing for people to listen to when there is no action going on there. But Ahijah is a worshiper of God, and the wife comes in, and the Lord tells him what's going on. And it says at the end of verse 5, for it shall be when she cometh in that she's going to feign herself to be another woman. And it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came into the door. Remember, he can't see, so his hearing is clicked in. Thank goodness he's not deaf too. That would make it really hard. But we know that when a person has a disability, that one part is broken down a little bit, but other parts rise up so that you can pay more attention to the other things. So he heard her come in, and he doesn't even give her a chance to lie to him, which I think is grace. I think it's grace. He just looks at her, or doesn't look at her, because again, we have a guy in our fellowship, and it's so cool because I get up Sunday mornings and I go, well, it's good to see you all, and he's blind, and he goes, it's good not to see you too. It's just you can either enjoy it and enjoy the relationship with the Lord, or you can hate every part of it. And boy, it's good to see. It's an encouragement. So he says, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. I'm sent to you with a hard message. I'm sent to you. Notice he's sent. He's sent by God to this woman. He isn't just there to take up space. He's sent by God to be there for such a time as that. And we don't know what those times are. It may be something that will never be written down in history. It may be something that nobody will ever talk about, but it's going to be something that God remembers. Because God knows, I sent this man to say this, and he said it. Faithful is that man. And God sent this woman. And so God says that to us too when we come to heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because we're all servants. We're all servants. We're all those bond slaves. And in bond slaves, the ones who love their master go to the doorpost. They get their ears knocked through with the awl and then put in that gold earring to signify that I love my master and I'm going to serve him forever. And that should be our hearts as we come to salvation, to come to him. Lord, I'm going to serve you forever. I want to serve you forever. Help me, Lord. Show me how that is and show me how it's going to work out. Because like Bob Dylan said, everybody's going to serve somebody. He had something going on anyway. But who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve ourselves or are we going to serve the Lord? I'll serve you, Lord, till I get to be a certain age. And when I retire, I'm going out and having fun on my own because I deserve it because I've worked all my life. We're going to be his servant forever. But isn't it sweet that you hear Jesus say, I no longer call you friends. Or I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Oh, the sweetness of that. is he raises us up above the condition of the world, above the condition of where we were. He's risen us up above those things. I've been sent to you, just to you. Amazing. Is the Lord evidently wants to speak to this woman about God's knowing her condition, God's knowing the condition of their son, God's knowing of the condition of things in the kingdom. He still comes to her and speaks truth to her. Even though it's going to hurt, he speaks truth to her. And you wonder, did she ever come to salvation? Did she ever come to realize none of the priests of the idols that we go to told me anything, but this man told me everything? Jesus did that with a woman at the well, didn't he? And she got so excited, she ran back and became a witness to the whole city. Even though they didn't want to be with her, they didn't want to commune with her, she witnessed to the whole city, and the whole city came out to meet with Jesus, and salvation came to that city. Because of her witness. But it was her witness because Jesus met with her. And he said, I've come to you with a message from God. Oh. You just hope that something happened in her heart. And he says in verse 7, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted you from among the people and made you prince over my people Israel, Jeroboam, I've made you this king. I exalted you. You were lowly. I exalted you. I've made you a prince over my people. Notice whose people they are. They aren't Jeroboam's people. They're God's people. And Jeroboam, I'm holding you accountable for what you've done with my people. Ooh. Oof. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. And yet here he is telling Jeroboam, telling his wife, the things that God had done. And so Abijah is telling this woman this. I exalted you from among the people and made you prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David. I did it even though I loved David, even though I loved what David had done. I saw the condition of the people. I saw the condition of the tribes of Israel, and this is what I've done. I've given it to you for a purpose, for a plan, and you're abusing it. Oh, this man had an opportunity to come to him, had an opportunity to meet with the Lord, and yet still hasn't. The Lord exalted him to a great position in God's kingdom, and yet the man abused it, didn't want to do anything with it. In fact, did it the wrong way. So I've rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant David. Amazing. The standard there was David, because David was a man after God's own heart. He was the apple of his eye. And for you and I, the standard is Jesus Christ. And he has not lowered his standard. And he's not going to lower his standard. Even though there's many churches that are in a place of lowering standards so that there'll be people in the pews, he's not lowering his standard for you and I. His standard is still Jesus. His standard is still righteousness. And thank goodness Jesus came to save us, because he has become our righteousness. Because we can't stand in front of a holy God without the righteousness of Christ. We can't do it on our own. It's only the righteousness of Jesus that God sees when we come to him and accepts us for who we are. He kept my commandments and he followed me with all of his heart. As you hear the condemnation, Jeroboam, you didn't do this. You didn't keep my commandments. You didn't follow me with your heart. And he said, and to do that which was right in mine eyes, and you haven't done that either, Jeroboam. As he brings the judgment, as he brings the condemnation to the place where Jeroboam was, this is what you haven't done. And boy, it's an encouragement, I think, for us to examine our own hearts. Lord, am I following you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Am I doing your commandments? Do I even know what your commandments are? And am I doing it with all my heart? And am I doing it every day? Or am I just doing it on Sundays and Wednesdays when we have services so that people can see? Lord, do I do it all the time? Do I do it on the road? Oh. Oh boy. And are you doing what's right in my eyes? Sometimes we do what's right in our eyes, but we don't always do what's right in God's eyes. And to ask him, Lord, am I doing these things? And am I doing it what's right in your eyes? Or am I just doing what's right, thinking that this is what I have to do to look good in front of people? But in verse 9 it says, but you have done evil above all that were before you. Oh, for thou hast gone and made the other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and has cast me behind your back. We always want to keep the Lord in front of us and not behind us. God, you're not going to see what I'm doing. God, I'm going to push you aside. And isn't that what America has done? We've taken God and pushed him back. We pushed him back behind us. We'll take prayer out of school. We'll take the Ten Commandments out of buildings. We'll make churches bow down to the rules of government rather than to the rules of Scripture. And we're going to see that that's going to come to pass more and more as we go through time. That's going to happen more and more, because we are going to have to bow down before. There's places in Canada. There's places in the UK where pastors cannot talk about all that the Bible says without fear of imprisonment or fines or whatever. And I think we got a glimpse of it during COVID. You stay open, we'll close you down. We'll keep the bars open and the liquor stores open, but we're going to close the churches down. Really. We'll keep the cannabis places open, but you got to close down, because you don't really help people. Oh, you're not essential. Aren't you glad God thinks you're essential? I'm going to cast you behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, sorry about that, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. The destruction that comes because of sin, the destruction that comes because of self getting in the way. It's just so awful. We see what sin does. And for God to have no sin before him, he says, I'm going to take it away as a man takes away dung till it's all gone. There's going to be no remnant of sin in my house. Oh. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. For the Lord has spoken it. Evidently, this guy has done a lot of bad stuff, because God is upset with him. God is always upset with sin, and we really need to have the fear of the Lord before us always. Not to shake and tremble as such, but to have such a reverence for God that we would reverence everything that he says and everything that he is. And there's so many in the church that don't want to go that direction. Well, you can have God. It's almost like Pharaoh. When Moses was before him trying to get the people of Israel out. Well, you can take the men with you. Just leave the women and the herds here and the kids. And he kept on trying to get him to leave things behind. God wants all of it. He wants every evil part gone and taken away from and separated from the people of Israel. Oh, and as he wants to separate evil from before us. And we can't just think evil as just being pornography or murder or drugs or and all those things. Sometimes ministry can be evil if it takes a heart away from his presence. We've got to be in that place where we realize, God, you have a perfect plan for me and a perfect way for me. And if I hold on to something, even though it looks religious, even though it looks good, if it isn't from you, it's going to be wrong for my life. And that could be such a dangerous thing for each and every one of us. Lord, show me. That's why Abijah had to sit before the Lord every day. Lord, tell me, show me, so that I can be faithful. And for you and I, it's the same thing every day before him. Lord, what is it that you want for my life today? This is a terrible message, isn't it? Sorry about that. Arise, therefore. But we've got a good God who loves us, so there we go. Arise, therefore, in verse 12, and get thee to your own house, and when your feet enter into the city, the child is going to die. I don't know about you, but I'd probably go and rent a room somewhere, not go back into the city. And all of Israel shall mourn for him and shall bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing towards the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. So there was an encouragement for him. But in verse 14 it says, moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what even now? And we see that the answer for that prophecy is just found a couple of chapters over in chapter 15. One chapter over, as a matter of fact. In verses 28 to 30, we see it says, even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam, and he left not to Jeroboam any that breathed until he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite, because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, and which he had made Israel sin by his provocation, wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Isn't that sad that would have to come to pass in a person's life? In anybody's life. Yeah. But God is going to be just, and God is going to be right in all of his ways. There is not anything that God is going to do that anybody can point to and say, you haven't been fair. Because he's fair and just and right in all of his ways. And so he says, when you get home, this is what's going to happen, and I'm going to tear the kingdom out from under you because of what you've done. For the Lord, in verse 15, shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river. We know that the captivity was going to come because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And what do we always say? Well, as long as I'm just sinning in my own, it doesn't matter. I'm not hurting anybody else. I'm just taking it on myself. But it does hurt. The sins of the people are going to affect a country. And we see what the sin in America has done to the country. The morals have gone to pot. There are no morals anymore. There is nothing worthwhile anymore, and I think God is pouring out judgment upon America now, and we're just going to see the results of it down the road a little bit. But judgment has already started, because if there was no judgment happening, if there was nothing that was going on, that we wouldn't have the sins in America that we have now. And sin is rampant. That's all they talk about in the news, just the sin that's going on. And he's pouring out those things upon the land. And in verse 16 it says, and he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. Just as the Lord said. Sometimes his judgments are immediate. Sometimes his judgments take a season to get there, but he's always going to be fair and just and right in any time he does his judgments. And they buried him, and all of Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet, as he speaks through this man to this woman. And that's what's so important about saying what God says instead of saying what we want to say, because all of God's prophecy is going to come to pass. Man's prophecy never comes to pass. Part of it may be true, part of it may be real, but there's going to be parts that aren't true, and you know they're not from God. Ugh. So then we switch over in verse 19 to the end of the chapter here with Rehoboam. We're going to have the death of Jeroboam first, and then we're going to Rehoboam. In the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings. And in the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years. Amazing. This guy did awful stuff, and the Lord let him hang around for 22 years. That's grace. Instead of smoking him first thing, he lets him reign for 22 years just to try and get his heart in that place. And he slept with his father, and Nadab, his son, reigned in his stead. Nadab is not going to be a whole lot better. His name means liberal. Boy, are we in trouble. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 2 Kings 17:6.
Mm-hmm. So yep. Sometimes he's quick in judgment and bringing things, those things to pass, sometimes long, and yet they're always going to come. It just, we know that God is going to be faithful to his word. So then we pick up with Rehoboam. In Rehoboam, the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Judah and Benjamin were under him, and Rehoboam was 40. And 1 year old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah in Ammonitis. Her name means pleasant. And she was certainly not from a place that she was supposed to be. Solomon wasn't supposed to marry her. In 2 Chronicles 12, verse 1, it says this, "And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established his kingdom and had strengthened himself," and his name means the people have enlarged me. It came to pass when he had established his kingdom and strengthened himself that he forsook the law of the Lord. He got to a season, he walked with the Lord, he went with the Lord, he did the things of the Lord, and then when he got strong in his kingdom, and remember it's only 2 tribes out of 12, so it isn't a huge area, it's just a smaller area, but as soon as he had established his kingdom, he forgets about the Lord. The Lord has done this for me, but when I get to the peak of my prominence, I'm going to forget about the Lord. And that is such a danger for people. It's such a danger for us to think that, well, I've been walking with the Lord and now everything's good. Now I can just kick back and enjoy myself and just wait for the kingdom to come. We miss. He gets his kingdom established. He gets strengthened up. And he forgets about the Lord. And he goes the other direction. Because when you're going towards the Lord, that's one direction, but when you stop, the Lord is still moving and you're going in the other direction. Talk about backsliding. This is just an awful place to go to, and certainly an encouragement for us that there's no days that we can stop seeking the things of the Lord, that it has to be in that place where we're always walking after the things of God. And it says, "And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy," because he's jealous over his people. "They provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done." So he's not doing a whole lot better than Jeroboam. but he started out well. So we got a guy that didn't even start out well, and we've got a king who started out well and forsook the Lord. And yet the end result is still the same. They've walked away from the things of the Lord and separated themselves from God. For they had also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. A lot of idols going around that can't help them. And there were also sodomites in the land. You can tell when the land is going down the tubes that sodomy becomes prevalent. We saw it in Sodom and Gomorrah. We see it here. We see it all through history. We see it in America. How sad is that? And yet now it's okay. It's not okay with God. And it should not be okay with God's people. It should be something that is not all right with us. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations that were around them. The nations are doing it, so it must be okay for us. Oh boy. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. There's a reason he cast them out, so that it wouldn't be in the land. And yet they enter into it. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasure of the house of the Lord, because God, even though he loves his land, even though he has put his name there, he is not afraid to judge things that are wrong, even in his own land, in his own city. Oh, and we see part of the things that are going on in Israel, and we wonder, why are those things taking place? And yet we see in Israel, we see the gay pride parades. We see the things that are going on, the way that they're voting, the way that they're wanting things to be inclusive in all the land. And we realize more and more these things are coming upon Israel because they're not walking after their God. And he's not afraid to judge his people. He's not afraid to pour out judgment upon his people. And that's wonderful, because we wouldn't want to be those kids that were so spoiled that we could get away and do anything we wanted to do just because we were their kids. Because when they grow up to be adults, they're still spoiled, they're still rotten, and nobody wants to be around them. And we see them in government now because they got nothing else to do, so they have to go to government. So he took away the treasure of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took it away at all. And he took away the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Gold speaking of the deity, gold speaking of the Lord's presence, gold just being this place of royalty, of richness, of fruitfulness that God had brought upon the land. Remember, Solomon had all these things. He was getting 666 talents of gold a year, and he had made all these shields and all these things and made the houses beautiful and done all the things, the kingdom, the altar, all of those things out of gold and overlaid with gold. And he had done those things, and the guy from Egypt comes up and he destroys it. He takes away the presence of the deity of the Lord, thinking that that's going to take care of God. Thing is, God is still behind the scenes working and doing, and he's still jealous for his people. And he's still jealous. We can do those things, and we can go enter into those things, and we can say, well, God hasn't judged me yet, so it must be okay. But even like Marianne pointed out, 200 years later, the judgment comes. And why was it? It was because of this. Remember David, when we read about it, it was 3 years of famine. And David finally inquired of the Lord, why have we got famine in the land? He says, because it was the sins of Saul. I want you to go and make retribution for that and take care of that. Even though it's years later, I want you to go and take care of that and make it right. Ugh. And we make things right because of the blood of Jesus. He makes things right for us. We still have to go through consequences, but he makes all things new. He makes things right. That's why we press towards the mark and forget those things that are behind and press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So it says that he came and he took all those things away. He took away the shields of the gold which Solomon had made, and King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields. So he goes from royalty in God's presence to brazen, to brass shields. Brass always in Scripture speaks of judgment. He brings up brass shields. The judgments upon the land. Just showing the things that had happened in Judah as well as Israel. And it's amazing to me. God does not, he's no respecter of persons, no respecter of nations. And he's going to bring judgment upon all the nations that come against Israel. And boy, America has to watch out, because we are making decisions against Israel more and more. Our wonderful president just said yesterday that he's going to withhold some of the arms they were going to ship to Israel because they're killing civilians. But what he didn't say was they're killing civilians in Rafah because Hamas is bringing the civilians to the forefront and letting them get killed so that they can cry out to the newspaper, look at what Israel is doing, and America's falling for it. Instead of standing behind them, we're pushing them away. And we're really one of the last nations to support Israel. Oops. But Scripture tells us that's what's going to happen. Every nation is going to be against Israel. And we're seeing it come to pass in our lifetime. Did you ever figure in your lifetime this was going to happen? I was hoping to be gone by now.
Yeah.
Lord, I got my 70 years in. Hello? Did you forget me? I'm overdue. I like a book out of the library. I'm overdue here. Come on. Turn me in. So King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields, the judgments upon them, and committed them into the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went in the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. So he brings them out when the kings come in. As soon as the king leaves, then they put him back and hide him again. Just amazing. We're going to bring out something that's fake just to make an appearance. But as soon as everybody's eyes are off of it, we're going to take them away and hide them. Oh. And don't we do that with our sin?
It's like Adam doing the fig leaf
mm-hmm.
to try and hide us.
Yep, we're going to cover it up for a while. Because God won't notice. Who told you that you sinned? What are you doing with those itchy clothes on? What's the matter with you? we're going to be fake. We're going to fake it. We're going to fake that we're okay when we're not okay. The world is going to see judgment on our households, and we're going to fake it and say we're okay. That's why we write books like I'm Okay, You're Okay, when nobody's okay. We're all in sin. We all need salvation. We can't fake it. I'm not okay. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I need Jesus Christ. We can't fake it. The whole world knows that nobody is okay. Because even the world knows I can't go to church because there's hypocrites in the church. Hello? But I'm a hypocrite that's saved by Jesus Christ and his blood. He's the one that we need to be looking at, not the people in the church. We need to be looking at the God of the church. But the trouble is the churches are looking at the people and saying, well, that church is bad. Look at those people. Instead of looking to the God of the church. That's where we need to be looking. We're all a mess. Some of us are just a bigger mess than others. Some of us have a mess that's just spread all over. We're like, what's that comic strip with the guy with the cloud that was always following him and just spreading that stuff all over? You know, he came in, you knew that guy's a mess. He's just a dirty slob, you know. Other people get cleaned up, but there's still dirty slobs inside.
Pigpen,
thank you. I don't think that would have bugged me all day, but I would have been thinking about it. But we're all a mess. But we can be saved. And when we get to heaven, we get those new bodies. And we get everything is brand new.
And we are being worked on.
And we're being worked on. Oh, thank you, Lord, for it. We don't have to fake it. I know I'm a mess. But God, who is rich in mercy. And it was so when the king went in the house that the guards that bore them and they brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days, because neither one was walking in the right way. And it doesn't matter, even though we sometimes have fellowship with other unbelievers. Remember when we're in the world, we had fellowship with other unbelievers, but we were never happy with anybody. And you know what? We're never going to be happy with anybody until God steps in. And Kath and I wouldn't be together if it wasn't for God's mercy and God's grace, because neither one of us did anything that was right in the other's eyes, and we couldn't do anything that was right in the other's eyes. It was only Jesus that did it, and he changed us. He changes our vision. And he changes our direction, and he changes what we hope in and what we trust in. And then he makes all things new. And now I wouldn't get rid of her for anything. She might still get rid of me, but we aren't going to talk about that right now. But there was war, and there's always going to be war between people because they can't get along with each other long enough to not have a war. There's always going to be battles. There's always going to be those things. And people are crying out, people just need to get along. We need to have unity with the whole world. So we'll have a one world government, we'll have one world thing, and everything will be wonderful. No, it won't. They're still going to hate each other. Because if God is not in the midst, they aren't going to get along. Even in the church, we can't get along sometimes. But at least there's a little bit more unity in the church because we've got Jesus as the center. And those that have Jesus at the center can get along with others. But if you don't have Jesus at the center, there is no getting along with anybody. And he is the only reason there is peace. He's the only reason there is anything good, because he's the Prince of Peace. And he's the only one that can bring peace into a relationship and into a church, into a country. And so it says in verse 31 that Rehoboam slept with his fathers. In other words, he died. And he was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah in Ammonitis. And Abijam. So we got Ahijah, Abijah, and Abijam. This guy was not a preserve. He was a real thing. And Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. And his name, too, means worshiper of God. We'll see how he goes next time. But boy, what a mess, huh? But that's what happened when sin enters in. When David was right, when David was walking, things were right. His kids started coming to walk with the things of the Lord, and that was right. But it doesn't take long for sin to enter in. It only took 3 chapters for sin to enter in when God made everything perfect in the beginning. And it doesn't take long for sin to enter in. That's why we always need to be on guard and to always take heed to the condition of our hearts, because we need him. And so, Father, as we come before you, we just realize how quickly things can deteriorate, how quickly things can go from good to bad. How quickly those things can happen, Father. So help us to keep a fresh relationship with you. Not a relationship that was based on 40 years ago when we got saved, but a relationship that's current today. Lord, I'm saved today still because of your blood, but I want to know what you want to say to me today, Lord. I know what you said to me 40-some years ago, but Lord, I want to hear today. And so, Father, speak to our hearts, minister to us, Lord, and help us to keep that relationship fresh, because if it isn't fresh, it's going to be stale, and it's not going to be exciting, and it's not going to be new, and it's going to be off kilter, and it's going to go a bad direction. So, Lord, help us to take heed to the warnings that are there, and to keep that relationship fresh with you, Lord. We love you, we thank you, And thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. Thank you for loving us, Lord. And thank you for your precious word that you've given us to be an example for us. And Father, may we take heed to it and walk with you all of our days. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.